And now, Liberty in Papa Wee.
Patrick, God bless you. He sneezed. Now we can start it over.
And now, Liberty and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba.
Nothing is
they
sacred.
They have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast.
The podcast.
The podcast.
Yeah, we got a crew
Big
now.
Big D and Bubba podcast. The podcast. The podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
If you're going to stop this every time his body makes a weird noise, we're going to be stopping a lot.
I promise, no more. We do have a lot of people in here, so let me go ahead first of all and say thank you for having the podcast on as we are here in the Wrangler Rigs studio. Wrangler Rigs workwear, comfortable, tough, all day long.
Wait, everyone just kind of go around and introduce. I guess we can start with Taya, you know, with ladies first.
Okay. Taya Kyle, the wife of Chris Kyle, best known for being the American Sniper.
Or you could also say, and I'm Bubba's mom.
I'm Bubba's mom, yes, in not in the weird way, but a different Bubba's mom.
Yeah, different Bubba.
Who's Although I'd be mama? Your mama, honey. No, who's I'm just kidding. I wouldn't. I'm just kidding.
Oh, well, I'm Mary Sarah. I've been a part of the tour since 2012 when it started, and I've sang the national anthem. So I just have the honor of being here and hanging out with these cool cats.
And we're talking about the Patriot Tour.
Yeah.
David Goggins, retired Navy SEAL, 21 years.
You forgot to say the other part about the pull-up deal.
Ultramarathoner.
Yeah, I do... A little bit of running. I run ultra marathons. I also hold the Ginsburg World's records for 4,030 pull-ups in 24 hours. I did in 17.
Okay, wait a minute. Wait, let that sink in for a second. 4,000 what?
4,030 pull-ups. It's the equivalent of lifting three space shuttles in 17 hours. The space shuttle weighs 250,000 pounds. I weighed 205 when I did it. Take 4,030 times by 205.
Okay,
and you'll
you
get,
lost us. All we know is that it's a hard
Okay, what's it say? Why do you do it?
Yeah, it's like, hey, I'm a numbers guy.
Say, so I'm pretty dang impressive. There you go.
There you go.
Pete Scobell. I'm just the guy who plays guitar on the tour.
Pete's actually been in here with us before and sang for you, which is cool.
Hey, Chad Fleming, one of the few amputees that's returned back into combat.
Weren't you the first, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, so...
Marcus Luttrell, retired Navy SEAL.
Guys, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. And we have it really dark in here so that you can't see how fat we are. And
because today we feel doubly fat, you know, with all you people in here.
Of course, David doesn't help. 4,385 and did it. How long 24 hours?
I had 24 hours to set the record. I set it in 17.
Right, okay.
Overachiever.
Jeez. I had 24. I didn't need all 24.
Didn't need 24. We actually, because we were talking about you guys coming in, and we were talking about your deal. You tried it twice.
Right.
The first time, you didn't do it, not because you didn't break the record, but not because of being tired or wiped out. You didn't have any skin left on your hands.
Right. I had a, you know, there's a lot of things I didn't figure out. You know, it takes me a while. Usually, if you hear my story, it takes me three chances to do everything. So I had to go through, and I had a bad bar. I was in the Today Show, had a bad bar that was shaking around. It was kind of, the friction was causing my hands to rip. They ripped
Blame
really
it
bad.
On the bar.
Right, right, right. You know, and,
that's my problem, right. too.
Yeah, it's all of our problems.
It's always been mine.
Hey, when you say bar, do you mean belly? Because mine's my belly. That's
right,
my problem.
Right, oh, no, pull-up bar.
Okay, right, wrong bar, gotcha.
Right.
I was thinking whiskey.
So you set the record, and would you ever try and do it again?
I actually went back and did 4,440 pull-ups because a guy broke my record, but it's unofficial. So I'll never do it again, though. No, I'm done.
That's still crazy, man. Just to think that anybody is driven enough to go and say, I'm going to break the world record for pull-ups.
Right.
What's next, sit-ups?
Well, I actually, I've done push-ups also. So I've done, I've just done several things. I'm a big-time runner now, so I do a lot of running events. So just got through running 325 miles. So
we're big runners too. We ran 325 feet.
I can tell you guys run a lot. Yeah.
Marcus and I are going to get into a competitive eating. I think we could do that. How many
That's
hot
actually
dogs?
A pretty good idea.
I wonder how many hot dogs we could eat.
I was thinking, we're coming offline next year anyways. We might as well pick something up.
I'm going to get bored. Now to see them.
I can start running with David. You're running home, right?
Yeah.
And you're running from here to Houston, correct?
You know what's crazy about Marcus saying this? Marcus will start training to do this. Marcus is just that crazy. Don't let Marcus fool you. He's just that off to start training for something like that. I'm serious.
I'm not good at it. I'm just off. Just dare me.
There.
I'll do it.
He'll get there.
So, Chad, let's talk a little bit about you. When you go back into service as the only amputee to go back into service,
There's several other guys that have gone back. There's several amputees that have gone back into a non-tactical job per se, mm-hmm. but then there's only a handful that's actually gone back into combat operating as an amputee.
What is that like? What's the reaction from the other guys?
You know, at first, some people are a little skeptical because they're like, hey, you know, can this guy move as fast as he used to? Is he going to be a hindrance?
Yeah.
But then once you prove yourself, it's like anything else that we're all used to. Once you prove yourself, then it's kind of like, wow, man, this guy's back. And it actually kind of motivates them a little bit more to see mm-hmm. this guy's doing what we do on one leg.
I had no idea he was missing a leg when we first met. If you've seen him move around, I mean, this guy, especially when he has his jeans on, you can't tell at all. And he can run faster than most guys I know with two.
Did you
and I see, Bubba, you can use it for your beer.
I
when
saw
you go.
That. Oh, you can ice it down.
You just took your leg off.
You just put ice in there and then put your beer in there. Any sporting event you're at, it's the greatest thing, man.
Right.
People are like, look at this redneck. Can you sneak it in?
Yeah.
Oh, now wait a minute.
Down in the boots, dude.
Okay. You're on to something.
And who's going to really, who's going to stop?
Don't give it away.
Yeah, you ought to see us at public sporting events. We're all sitting beside each other passing a leg around. People don't even sit by us normally. And like, hey, you want some of this? Can you get down on this?
Chad, take your leg off. We're thirsty.
Exactly.
What are you holding in there, bro? Let's go.
Taya, when I remember that when.
By the way, Taya and Mary Sarah have been taking selfies back here. We're having all this serious talk, and Taya and they're sitting there smile.
Of everybody else too. In all fairness, it's a really cool studio.
Yeah. Okay. It's pretty vibey in here, isn't it?
This is the best studio I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool.
We keep it dark so people can't really see how.
Yeah. They really can.
I understand. I like it too.
Good.
When to get a little serious, I took the boys to see the movie. My boys. I got two boys, and I wasn't real sure how harsh it was going to be and all of that for the violence and whatnot. But I wanted them to see what it's all about. The real story of how hard it is to do what he did and to go through it and make it happen and
also how it changes you.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly. It affects a family and everything.
And when the movie was over, we were talking about it in the car on the way home, and I was really surprised at how much my kids got it, and it had a huge impact on them. So I just want to tell you thank you. I don't know if were you part of the direction of the movie or whatnot.
You know, I spent a lot of time with Jason Hall, who's the screenwriter, in trying to get the details right and all of that. But I think the beauty of the movie is that, and maybe even why your kids get it, is there's a part of humanity and human nature that's in that movie that it's really not just about Chris and me. It's about warriors, and I think you could go back to the Civil War and even before that, and you can go into wars in the future. And this story is going to be about the same. It's every warrior who's been out there on the battlefield and has a person at home who loves them. And I think that's why it was so successful. We had guys from wars decades ago that started talking about things they hadn't talked about in decades with their spouse or with their family or friends. And the guys who have done it can relate because it really is their story too. And I think that's why your kids get it too.
A guy, Tommy Lofton, who is the curator of stories from the World War II Museum in New Orleans. And he goes around and he interviews these older gentlemen and gets their story. That way they're not lost to history. And it blew our mind. What was it? A week ago, maybe a week and a half ago, he was telling us about this guy, 93 years old, and they just diagnosed him for PTS. And he was like, I just thought it was just me, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that's something that needs to be addressed, especially with the older generation.
Well, I think it's PTS. And I just think it's also the dynamic that happens in every family. And that's part of why I wrote American Wife, is there are a lot of spouses out there who need to know that they're not alone. And it really does change the dynamic when you know you're not, you secretly wonder a lot of times, is it just me? Or am I not handling things the way that I could be? And so you stay quiet about it. But that's at a detriment to everybody else who could, you know, be blessed by your story. And so that's one of the things that I learned with American Sniper and American Wife, is that it does help other people when you can put your flaws on the table and you can tell people your true story. Own up to whatever it is that you think makes you less than you want to be, and you'll find a lot of strength in it. That's what I'm finding anyway. And you're right, PTS, it happens for people in war, out of war. and they're not crazy. They live good lives. They love their families. They carry weapons. They do all these things. It doesn't mean they can't live a normal life. It means they're working through something, and sometimes it's harder than others, and we can do things to help them. But yeah, he's 93 years old, and he suffered, but he probably still lived a really good life.
Yeah.
Marcus, what has changed for you with speaking and going and being a part of the of this tour, the Patriot Tour? Has anything changed in the way that you see those around you or you, just kind of hearing stories from other soldiers and veterans?
Oh, absolutely. The team itself that's sitting here in front of me, they motivate me every day. Their stories are amazing. And I think that everybody has one of those. And just to kind of backfill what Taya was saying, a lot of people don't talk about it. And you got to understand, I mean, each one of us get up and we tell one story maybe during Patriot Tour of our military experience. I mean, that's what I do. I talk a little bit about Red Wing. Most of the time we don't talk about it unless it's just in a circle with all of us. I remember when I first got out and was talking about it, when you try and talk to somebody who wasn't actually there and you can see it in their face, I mean, they're intrigued by the story, but they're just not really getting it. And I think some of the guys, when they first get out, when that happens to them, they just shut down. And like, oh, why would I sit here and talk about this if nobody kind of understands it? And our humor is actually really dark. And that's the way we can get through a lot of the things that we do, is through that dark humor. And just over the years, talking about a lot of the stuff, I mean, yeah, you hear people say that it changed their lives or that it helped them in some way. Because of that, that's why we keep getting up and doing it. I mean, is it beneficial to me? No, not really. I mean, I don't find any closure. I don't know what that word means, really. But in doing that, but if it helps other people, then why not?
Whose idea was it to start the Patriot Tour, and who gathered the team?
Taya and Melanie, my wife Melanie, came up with the concept and started with it was going to be Chris and I, first people on the team, and then he got. So we shut it down for a while, right? And then we popped back up, and the team fell into place. I mean, when we sat down and we were doing the lineup, we're like, all right, who are we going to have on here? The names just, it was the first names out of our mouths, and it's the team you sitting here in front of you. I mean, they're all great at what they do. You got to understand, people have amazing stories. They really do. But being able to tell somebody about it is completely different. So
yeah, we get that.
You know what I mean?
we get that.
My granddad would say, if you could tell the story, you could rule the world. Kind of deal. So I mean, that's the blessing, the good thing about all the guys on the team up here, man. They can actually tell you about their life and their experiences to where you completely understand it.
There was a moment when, like, the whole Navy SEAL, when it became like everybody was so, like,
was it after?
I don't know when it was
Captain Phillips thing, when all the press started really getting crazy.
No, I think it was before that. It started, because it was like this, you know, they're like America's Ninjas, the kind of the thing, and then it turned into this thing. But I remember about maybe a year ago, I was like, man, and then I was like, oh, I was all about it. I want to know everything that's going on. I watched all the documentaries and going through BUDS and all the training and then I was like, about a year ago, I was like, I wish I hadn't. I wish it would have all stayed
a mystery.
Yes. I wish because I think it changed. You know what I mean, Taya?
I do. But I can also say this, that the guys sitting here today would probably be too humble to tell you this, but there is so much more than what is out in the public.
Good.
So there is a whole lot, I think, that nobody will ever know about what the SEALs and the Rangers do. And I think that we do have a lot more information, and I agree with you. Sometimes it's hard because you're like, whoa, 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 why are we telling all this? But just know there's a lot more to the story, too. There's a lot more they're doing.
Feel better?
Yeah, I do, actually.
We're a closed loop, so what makes it out to the American public, for the most part, with the exception of a few, is what we allow you to see.
How do you guys feel about people who come out and tell their story? Obviously, when you told your story, Marcus, there was a little bit of blowback from some people. And then you see the guy who, you know, came out and said, I'm the one who killed bin Laden. How do you guys feel about stepping out like that? And I really want to get your perspective, because you kind of did it.
Well, I didn't have a choice. It wasn't my idea. So it was the community's idea. We had so many people that died, so many rumors flying around, that we had to squash all of that.
And by that, you're talking about not just the three that were with you, but everybody that was in the helicopter.
19 people, right. Right. So, I mean, so many people died, especially when we have a fallen angel. It makes it out to the American public. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I didn't have a choice. I had to roll with it. I got broad shoulders. I can carry the load. And that was my new mission set, so to speak. So I'm going to do it 110%. But I still get guidance from our community. I never close that off. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're successful in what we do, is because I didn't go out and strike out on my own and try and do that.
Right.
But I have the backing of our community. I'll say this, when it comes to the books and everything, I mean, how do you think we learned about SEAL training? I mean, I watched documentaries and books from the Vietnam era guys.
Right.
I mean, that was the only intel I got reading about Buzz. I mean, all of us probably have read the same three books back then and watched the one documentary, Silent Option, on Discovery Channel 500 times. And I can guarantee you this, everything you've read up to this point about Navy SEAL training or Green Berets or Rangers or whatever it is, you have no idea what you're getting yourself into until you step across there. I thought I was ready. I wasn't. The only thing I had going was I wouldn't quit. It's a fire hose effect, man. It's just a beat down.
Is that the key for all of you guys? I mean, even you, Taya, just never quit?
Yeah, we just don't stay down.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think that there's a lot that people can learn, I think, when they go to the Patriot Tour that can relate to their experiences in life, even if it's the things that they experience that aren't military related, but the quality is the same. It's that never quit. And it's also like, man, sometimes you think that you're having a bad day and then you realize what some of these guys that are up on stage have been through, and it puts things in perspective, and you figure if they can get up and keep going, I can too. And I'm inspired by these guys all the time, and we've been doing it for a few years now, and I'm always at a different place in my life each year, and I'm picking up something different from each of their stories. And so I think that the name is so appropriate, Never Quit. Just keep going. It's why we're all here.
Pete, he gets up there and he sings, he gets off stage, but he was an incredible frog, man. He's got the stories that you hear coming out of us, you have no idea what this guy could tell you. But
that's what's cool is that's the way that Pete relays his stories through music. So it adds that extra effect. You know, these other people are telling stories, and then Pete comes up. If you listen to the words and his music and everything, that's how he's relaying his story.
Now, we hadn't actually had Pete back in the studio, what, in about 8-9 months it's been?
Yeah, I think so. The first time we came in, we did maybe not that long, maybe 5 months ago.
Hey, remember when we played the push-up contest and we did
you
more
whipped
than
me.
You? Yeah, remember that?
You whipped me. Yeah,
that was crazy.
Well, what I was going to say is, whenever you were in here, we were talking about your music, and you were saying, you know, there's only one song really that has a military theme on the album. And yeah. You played it for us, and it was amazing. Have you kind of come to grips with that? I know you were afraid of being pigeonholed as, well, he's a military singer. Where are you at right now with your career and what you're doing and all that?
Well, the first EP I released was it was pretty dark. And so when we went to the first full album, and you guys heard Wild, that was the first single we released off the new album.
Which is a great song.
Thank you. We just remixed it, and we're going to do a push on radio for Wild and a couple of the other songs on the album. But, I didn't want to get pigeonholed, but at the same time, I think when you have the right music and it's when you can communicate it in a way that is genuine and authentic, and it comes from, you know, when they know the person singing it isn't just singing it because they're, you know, hey, this was the song I was picked for them to cut on the album. It changes the dynamic of the music. And the whole album really, you know, we went out of our way and spent a lot of time working with different writers and publishers really trying to figure out what did I want to say and how did I want to say it. But I'm really happy with, you know, we got very lucky, released on September 11th. It went to 46 on Billboard Top 100 Country, which was pretty cool because we don't have a label or anything. And I don't know, it's been a great ride and just out here on the Patriot Tour with these guys, and it's fun. You know, playing every night and getting to, you know, play a couple tunes and communicate the story and meet the people. I think that's the other side. Every single one of us, for us, you know, we might be tired and beat up and, you know, our travel schedules are ridiculous. But then you show up at the Patriot Tour and everybody comes in and it starts at the VIP meet and greet and runs through the entire night. And you actually get kind of a resurgence in faith in the country because you meet all these people who, I mean, it's literally from duct tape to diamonds that show up to these things, and it's, you know, every color, race, creed, it doesn't matter. It's truly like a cross section of America that is awesome.
What's the matter, David? What's the matter? David, jump on here.
David, I can't say it because remember, go ahead.
I'm just laughing because Pete said, you know, every race, color, cut. I'm like, there's like no black people. Just so you know, I am a black person saying this. So it's like maybe 5 black people, but no, trust me, it's a great time.
It's okay. Like, you come to the show, there's no black people.
Navy SEALs, we have some dark humor. So that's kind of how we joke a little bit. It's just jokes, in house jokes. But yeah, that was my in house joke. I try to keep it under the radar, but you called me out. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
The word had to get out there.
We have a black person.
That's right.
David's here with us.
That's right.
And David can prove it right there. Just like white men can't jump, David. You can say
black men. Black men. Some. Some. Come hear me speak. You understand? I'm talking about the water in African Americans. Thank you very much.
I'll be here all day.
I'll be here all day.
Is that what you bring to the table?
I bring the dynamic that there's some who can go out there and swim.
Now, wait, at one point, God, I swear I read this somewhere. Maybe it was back whenever you were trying to break the record, because that's been 2 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Were you a fat kid?
Whoa.
Wait, no. Wait.
Whoa.
What? Get him, David.
Pardon me. I was once 300 pounds.
Okay.
Well, my fault. I was twice 300 pounds.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
And you have a completely different story because you, again, come at it from another angle. Here you were. You were the overweight, out-of-shape kid.
That's
and
right.
Husky. Then your story.
He was husky.
That's right.
I was a husky kid, too.
Right.
Me and my Sears.
I didn't get husky until later
jeans.
In life. Yeah.
Can you say fat Alb?
So what's the motivation there? When did you turn the switch on and go, you know what? I'm taking over.
Well, I had a really jacked up childhood, low self esteem. Grew up in a small town of like 10,000 people. There was like three black families. The KKK was originated right near my town, so there was a lot of name calling, a lot of
he could run.
Right. It was a lot of abuse growing up. My mom went through a hard time, so I just had a really bad childhood. And in searching for myself and searching for the reflection in the mirror to resemble a man, I decided to look for things that challenged me and made me go to a spot that made me want to quit. And Navy still training, and I went through Air Force Special Ops, and I went through Ranger School and stuff like that. I chose things that tested my soul.
Wait, you've done all three of those now?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
I've done things in my life to test my soul. I was trying to become a man in a very different way. I didn't have a father figure growing up, so I decided to become a man on my own and just find
Tell
things
that
tested me.
Tell me who used to babysit you.
Rick James used to babysit me.
You lie.
You know what?
You lie.
I wish I was, my friend.
True story,
my man.
That's awesome.
That's right. Rick James was my dad's best friend.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know actually if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
You wouldn't have any cocaine on you right now.
I had cocaine's a bad childhood. If my dad's Rick James' best friend, my dad was also a very weird guy.
Yeah.
A super freak.
Super freak, to say the least. That's right.
Well, Dave, you're normal.
So, where was a moment? I can't think everyone has one of these. The moment where you are, whatever the situation is, you're with a person or you're in a meeting or you're whatever it is. What was everyone's moment where you went, holy crap, I'm doing this? I'm hanging out with this person?
Oh, like a celebrity or a.
Or it doesn't have to be a celebrity, it could not be, it could be anything. But what was that moment where all of you were like, each one of you were like, oh,
this
wow.
was my hero at one point
this
or something like that?
This is a moment like you could never imagine that you were in. Marcus, this is Marcus.
Thursday of Hell Week, and we were in the boats fixing to crank out around the world. And we were paddling, and we had to stop for a couple other boats to get to the zone. And I was kind of looking around, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, man, we're in the books. Right now, we're in the movies. We're in the stuff that we read about before we got here. I mean, we're going through hell. We're going to be trying to be Navy SEALs. And right then and there, I just clicked in my head that never look back. It was an aha moment, whatever you want to call it, man. But I remember that very vividly because, I mean, it was Thursday and we were beat down. And my energy came up and I was like, hey, I remember talking to one of my buddies. I was like, man, we're in the books, man. We're in that chapter where they talk about going around the world. And he was just like, so what? I was like, well, I think it's a big deal.
It's page 97, dude.
Yeah, it was on cool. page 97. Yeah.
It was a lot better in the book.
Yeah. Chad, what about you?
That's easy for me. It was going back as an amputee, not knowing the outcome, trying to gain acceptance and allowing them to let you go back and do what you used to do, although technically you're handicapped. There's a lot of hurdles, and then you know, finally boarding that plane and going over and realizing, hey, man, I'm going back as an amputee. I know what can happen. You know, I'm living proof of it.
What did your family think, man?
That was crazy. I mean, it's like my dad was like, hey, son, you obviously know what can happen. Have you lost your mind? And then,
yeah.
You know, going back over, I got shot again. And so then it's kind of like, all right, hey, time out. Now do you figure this out? And then got wounded again on another occasion. And so finally, you know, he just gave up. He's like, son, you're an idiot. You know, got no other word for you.
But you kind of get that thing in the back of your head a little bit. I don't know if it kicked on you. Like, well, I got hurt. Oh, it's not going to happen again. I can't have that much bad luck.
Yeah.
It does. We get hurt every time we go back. Hey, we get hurt.
You just carry an extra leg, you know? So if you twist an ankle, you just put a new leg on, you know? So it's got its benefits.
Pete, what about you? What was that moment where you said, I am here, wherever here may be, with whomever it would have been?
When I went through Buds, I was 18. I just seemed like where I was supposed to be. And then I had a weird career. I went to the Naval Academy after I was a SEAL and then came back. But the whole time, I always played music. My mom was a music teacher, and it was part of my life. And then when I left the teams, and, you know, you get out and you don't really know what you're doing. You kind of take that life for granted. And I stayed at Winona Judd's house, and her whole house under construction. I remember Cactus, her husband, picked me up, and we drove over there. And I remember sitting in the kitchen at Y's house, and they had no lights. And we were sitting around candles having dinner. And, you know, we were literally listening to, we put our cell phone in a silver bowl, and we were listening to music, and we're getting ready to record. And it was really a moment for me, because it was like a new chapter. But I was sitting across from this woman who, you know, I just have the most respect for and love and admiration. And had I not done what I had done before, I don't think that opportunity would have been presented to me. And so it was really kind of a surreal.
You're really brave. You're really brave to put yourself around Y for that long, because she'll start putting you on some sort of a program. She'll have you writing. You'll be having a diary.
That did happen to him, I think.
Oh, yeah. No, trust me. Y and I talk to Y every day. In fact, there's probably 28 text messages on my phone when I walk over there. What were you saying? What are you doing? What are you doing right now?
Her and her mom came in
a couple weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, maybe, ago. Was sitting right there and talking about the tour and stuff. And she has... First off, she has the best voice, and it's not just country. It's in music ever.
Yeah. Ever, yeah.
So she has such a range, and she can make you cry. She can do all that.
Well, I think what's cool about her and that whole world is that the reason everyone loves her, and, you know, there's only like five women in the world that have one name. Right. Oprah, Y, you know, Madonna.
Jewel.
Yeah, but her voice, and Jenna. But she's so open.
Jenna. Oh, gosh, Marcus.
Yes. Marcus, somebody had to do it.
Who's that?
Somebody had to do it.
Who's that?
Come on, man. I looked around waiting for somebody to throw it out there.
Marcus, like, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't
know. Big D still doesn't know. That's what's great.
That was good.
Leave it there at that.
But Winona's so open about who she is, and I think that's what our friendship, you know. You know, you're struggling with stuff, and she was willing to talk about it, and we just had a great kind of relationship. And so, not only does she have an amazing voice, but she opens up to a point where she allows everyone to come into her life to a certain degree. Yeah. And she carries a lot of weight on her shoulders because of that. Yep. But that was my kind of, holy crap, I can't believe I'm sitting here a moment.
Yeah. You want to lay down on her sofa and just open up and let her tear everything apart.
And she burned the bacon in the morning. She cooked me breakfast every morning and burnt the bacon.
Who burns bacon?
She burnt the bacon.
What?
And I was like, you're real. You're human. You burn the bacon.
How about you, Deb?
For me, I have several parts of my life like that. But I remember one where I went to a recruiter and I was 300 pounds and I wanted to be a Navy SEAL. And I had to lose 105 pounds in 2 months.
Wait. You went to the recruiter. I went to the recruiter and was like, what did they say? Were they like, what do you... You got the wrong place.
All right, here we go. Let's open it up.
They're like the drive-thrus around the corner.
No, this is fascinating to me because I'm
so bad. I walk in. I was an Air Force guy first. So I walk in and I try to play pro football, and that's the end of the story. It didn't go far. It didn't go anywhere. And I was working for Ecolab. I was 300 pounds. I was watching Discovery Channel like Marcus was talking about. Discovery Channel came on, and I wanted to go be a Navy SEAL. I went in the door. I talked to the recruiter. He said, he laughed at me. He said, you want to be a cook? I said, no, I want to be a Navy SEAL. He said, well, you're fat and you're black. And I said, okay, roger that. And he went through the whole body fat. Long story short, I was 24 years of age and 4 months. I was prior service. I was in Navy reserves. And I had to lose 105 pounds in 60 days. I said, it's impossible to do that. Went back to work. Something happened at work. And I just said, I'm leaving work. And I had 59 days, lose 105 pounds, lost 105 pounds. And
what?
Went through three. Yeah, long story. Went through a lot of went through three hell weeks.
I can't believe you skipped over three.
Went through three hell weeks
injuries?
In 1 year. Well, after I got through hell week, I would get injured and get rolled back. I'd go through hell week again, get injured. Marcus and I went through a phase of training where the CO there's only four or five classes where the CO would roll you back to day one. If you failed something so many times or you got hurt or whatever and you're out too long, he roll you back to day one. And I was a part of these classes.
So what was that? So they could weed you out and just say, look, we know you won't give up, but we just want to weed you out, or they're just pushing you?
He was an old Vietnam vet. He was hard as, woodpecker lips, this hard dude. And he just believed this is how it should be. And I was in those classes, and I went through three hell weeks in one calendar year.
We had two guys that got rolled back.
In third phase.
At weapons comp. I mean, with a week or two.
To graduate.
And when we were graduating, they were back on the beach doing log PT.
Oh, my God. How do you?
Back in my class. Yeah.
So that's Did they complete a mental screw job.
They made it.
Yeah.
Good.
I mean, they were broke. God, man, they were broken, but they made it.
Once I went through all that, it was a long journey, a lot of stories in there. I persevered. I just woke up one day with a trident on my chest, and I was like, how the hell did I just do that? And I looked back in my life, and I was like, I just can't believe I just did that.
Yeah, you know, touching the trident for the first time, big deal.
Yeah.
Are you guys weird about people wearing
We saw a guy at the airport the other day.
I had a guy, he had a trident. I think
it was a t-shirt, but it was like a billboard. Oh, obviously.
He's not a SEAL.
It was a billboard, and he was wearing it through, and we're like, you know, because some of our friends who are spec ops, whether it's Rangers or Recon or whatever, when they see somebody wearing, I don't want to say the colors, but the colors, the emblem, they really get up in their face and are like, what are you doing?
They don't do that. I mean, obviously the older guys, I think it's the era. So when you're in, you definitely don't mess around with that stuff. And when you first get out, you don't mess around with putting that stuff, the emblems and sporting it. You'll see the older guys, the Vietnam guys and stuff, they'll wear their bird or something like that, which we don't really look at them. When they're wearing it, it's no big deal. We're just like, all right, it's no big deal. You can tell if a guy is sporting it for a different reason than he's supposed to.
Yeah, I think every once in a while, I'm fine with kids, and you know, like that's cool. Like to me, I see a little kid wearing a trident hat or something like that. They're motivated.
Like wearing an NFL uniform.
Yeah, exactly. That's fine.
That's their
dream. But like Marcus says, you'll see guys that are sporting it and they're carrying it in a way that they're looking for that kind of. They want that reaction out of you. Mm-hmm. Of they're looking for people to pat them on the back.
Well, there was nobody in the airport that would have mistaken this guy.
He looked like me.
Well, I remember when I walked into the airport for the first time in Washington D.C. and there was a SEAL Team 6 shirt on the thing.
For sale.
And mugs and hats and in the
airport.
See,
that's what I'm talking about. That's when I was like, golly, I hate all that.
There's a little issue with that.
It's too much. It's like, you know.
And who's buying it, though? Are they buying it, you know, because they want to go to a bar and sit down and be like, yeah, this is who I am? Or are they buying it because there's.
That's classified. I can't tell
you. Yeah.
Anybody who says it's classified is full of.
I think there's something I have to say before, you know, whatever happens. You know how you're talking about, you know so much about the SEAL teams and all this stuff going on in the training. You know, you read books and you saw DVDs, whatever, about SEAL training.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that nobody would ever see that myself and Marcus and Pete and Chad, we all get a chance to see up close is like I got a chance to see Marcus go through buds with a broken femur. See, these are things you don't understand, the character and the drive and the will of a human. Buds is hard.
Now, did you know at the time that you had the broken leg?
Yeah.
I
knew it was broke. Trust me.
Okay.
He was putting frozen peas on at nighttime. It's the stories within the stories that nobody ever hears about. You hear about, like I went through Hell Week, one of my Hell Weeks with Chris Kyle. You see a man. You see the making of a man. And you see weak human beings go away. So these are stories you don't see. You see a man go through the crucible of life. In buds, especially in Hell Week, and you see a character of a guy when the guy's a broken femur, and you see him at nighttime putting frozen peas, and you see guys quitting because they have like a splinter, or because I got a phone call from home and I just need to get back home because no, it's all these excuses. And you see a guy like Marcus who's going through just jacked up, and Hell Week is hard enough to go through healthy, and you see these guys, these amazing stories of human beings going through the hardest training that I've ever seen in my life with. Horrible, like breaks, and just it's crazy. I mean, you get to see things that are just truly amazing that the human spirit can pull out, and so many people don't know how far a human can go mentally.
Is it aggravating for you guys to get in the real world and see like real?
That's what I was just discussing right now. That was my anger towards the real world and how many people do not understand how far a human being can go.
David's got a lot of anger.
A lot of anger. That's why you run so much.
But I can imagine. I mean, you when you get out there and you see like people complaining about dumb things.
I go to school to pick up my daughter, and I see these 14-year-old boys walking around just doing stupid things, and you're like, come on, man. Get it together.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what it's like for you guys.
And it's like you can go up there and slap them and go, hey, you don't even know. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, we don't even pay any attention to them. That's what it is. Unless if there's a situation where we have to deal with that and I need you to go do something, I shouldn't have to tell you to go do it. If you knew you got to do it, damn it, go do it. I think that's where the rub is with us a little bit. Ultimately, we'll just wind up doing it is what happens.
Yeah.
We'll wait around. We're going to wait around for somebody to do something.
Right.
We'll just go do it. I don't really think about it like that, but I mean, every now and
that's
again.
That's how we are at dinner.
Yeah, right, exactly. Same here.
Who's first? I'll go.
The ones that'll floor you, though, are when they know who you are and they come up to you and then they try to start spinning this story and you're like, dude, do you know who we are? Do you know we can make one phone call and figure out if you're telling the truth or not? And then it's just
blows
like,
my mind that they do.
Wow.
Come up to him all the time.
That still really happens.
Absolutely.
Come up every day. To lie. And the thing about it is we're not only we're SEALs, we have friends in every branch. So, and plus, as long as we've been fighting these wars, we know damn near there is all there is to know about each individual military unit or whatnot. So when somebody comes up and starts talking smack, we crush them right then and there. And I remember when I first got out and started doing this, I mean, every now and again, I'd be like, oh, that's great. You know, tell them thanks for the service. But now I don't hold back.
What's his name? Runs the Extreme SEAL Experience.
Oh, Shipley.
Shipley. Yeah, Don Shipley is hilarious.
He'll mess around.
He gets on YouTube. We laugh at these people he busts on YouTube.
It's the best. Because that is because I see those and I'm like I don't have the credentials I'm not one of you guys I can't do it. I want to go up and tell
the
guy.
We actually remember the guy that we busted. We called Don and Don actually took care of it for us.
Oh, I remember we had to call Marcus on that the really old guy.
He called me one time down. I was in physical therapy and the guy got on the phone with me. Then we had a three-way phone call going on and the dude would not fess up. He goes, oh yeah, you know I trained you. I taught you how to pack your med bag. And remember you how horrible you were in the water? Well, anybody knows anything about me that's what I'm good at is water. I'm horrible on running and land and stuff like that. And he damn sure didn't teach me how to pack my med bag. Army taught me that. So but he would not
that's
fess
gotta
up.
Be a, that's got to be a mental, like he's got to have a mental issue, right? To say, don't you remember, Marcus, I taught you how to do something? Like, who does
Marcus,
that?
Marcus, it's me, your mom. It's me.
Exactly, you know? Right? Hey, Dad.
Well, here's where it really goes wrong is now when they come up and try to tell Taya to, you know, get in her inner circle or talk to her about something, and then they say, hey, I was with Chris. Mm-hmm. That's when it's going.
People have actually lied to you about that?
The amount of lies I've seen is incredible, like these guys said. Not only that, or they were Chris's best friend. They'll do it in public. A lot of people say they trained him or they were his best friend. Oh, it is disgusting. But they'll make up stuff about me too. And I can't imagine what the motivation would be to do that. But I just think there's a part of human nature that wants to be connected with something and they'll do it by either trashing or alleging that they were real tight with. It's just, it's one of the two, right? And it happens to all of us. And it's almost like you got to let it roll off because you can't change those people.
Well, one thing I figured out too about it is a self-esteem issue. You're not proud of who you are, so you lie about who you are.
Why to do I be know? Someone else.
But man, they could put some effort into I mean, some of the stories are like, wow, you have put some work in. I mean, we talk about this. It'd be easier to go do it than what they're dealing with right now. And they'll tell us some stories. I'm like, hey, that's a pretty good story. After I get done beating your ass, I'm going to take that story for myself.
That's my story now.
You know what I mean?
Guys, thanks for dropping by. And ladies, thanks for coming by. We appreciate it.
Oh, we never asked, we never got Tara's answer on
AHA thing.
And Mary, let's hear Mary.
Yeah, Mary.
Yeah, Mary Sarah. Let Mary Sarah go first.
Oh,
go ahead.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Well, first of all, I mean, I'm just so thankful to be a part of such a tour. I've been singing since I was like 9 years old, went on tour when I was 12, and have sang the national anthem for a lot of different venues and fundraisers. I think it was Melanie that got a hold of me, Marcus's wife, and asked me to do this. I was overwhelmed because I was thinking, me? Out of everyone who could do it, me? I just remember the first tour in 2012, just singing, I had to sing three times through the night, and to hear the stories, though, I had to kind of close my ears a lot of the times because I'd cry, and then I'd have to go out and sing. Aww. And it was one of the hardest things, just to be a part of such a family, too. It really, my aha moment was being on a double-decker bus with these guys and getting to be a part of the stories that you don't normally hear. And it really feels, I'm so honored to be a part of the family.
All the stories. Because we don't hold back.
Some of the stories. Yeah. I mean.
You grew up pretty fast.
We're on that bus for 7 hours up and down.
That's cool.
All right, start talking.
I bet you know who Jenna is, don't you?
I'm going to keep my lips sealed on that one.
Big window.
Yeah. That's cool.
But that was definitely. My aha moment. And I mean, my grandpa served, he was a colonel in the Air Force. And so it's always been a big passion of mine. We all have talents. And I thought, you know, I wasn't going to serve. So it was, you know, what can I do to serve my country? And it was to sing the national anthem. So it's truly an honor to be in this room, even here talking about this. So
that's great. Thank you.
And thank you.
Taya?
Yeah, I would say anybody who gets a chance to see Mary Sarah sing or listen to any of her music will be blessed. She's got one of the most amazing voices. Maybe one day it'll just be Mary Sarah. It'll be that, you know, she'll be like included in that one. Yeah, no last name group. I don't know. That wouldn't be surprised me a bit. You know, I don't know. I was sitting here trying to think of all the different moments that I could say were aha moments, but I feel like my life is very, very confusing. It always has been to me. I never quite know where I'm ending up or why. And, you know, I had some funny thoughts and responses. I don't know, but the most impactful will always come back to Chris. You know, if it's the night I met him, I can remember it like it was yesterday. If it was, you know, I remember the first time that he told me he loved me and it scared me half to death. And I thought, I just knew there was something different, you know? And when you talk about a life-changing moment, there's just something different, you know, or it could be it always is going to come back to him or our family or, you know, an ultrasound finding out I was having a son. There are a lot of amazing things that have happened in life, but when I look back, those are the biggest and best.
Thank you guys, all of you, for coming in, sharing your stories. If somebody wants to get info on the Patriot Tour, want to go to any of the tour stops, they go to what?
PatriotTour.com.
Or
Team Never Quit.
That's why I was confused. When I Googled it, it was like TeamNeverQuit.com. And then I was like, well, I don't want to give that out until I asked you first. So you can actually do both, PatriotTour.com or TeamNeverQuit.com.
Don't ask me questions about stuff like that, man.
TeamNeverQuit. Yeah.
Marcus, what's a URL? You know,
upper respiratory lesion.
You can also follow him on Instagram and Twitter. It's Patriot Tour USA.
Patriot Tour USA on Twitter. Check it out, and that's also the Facebook page as well. Patriot Tour USA. So there you go, guys. Yeah,
thank you so much.
If you knew, why'd you ask me?
Well, you know,
it was a setup.
Test.
They set you up.
I got burned the other day too on something. Somebody's like, "Hey, who's on the softball team?" I was like, "I didn't written down somewhere. I don't know."
Look, is it on their jersey? Look at the back of the jersey. Oh, you know, I don't know. Man. Again, yeah, TeamNeverQuit.com. We'll put links on ours site as well, BigDandBubba.com.
All right, real quick, I do also want to mention thank you to the awesomest mattress people on the world, Casper Mattress, one award-winning mattress that's engineered for supportive comfort no matter what you're doing on it. Consumer Reports, Bloomberg, and the Wall Street Journal all raving about the Casper Mattress. And one of the coolest things is that it ships for free, guys. It ships for free in a surprisingly compact box. I mean, it's small enough to throw in the trunk of your car for a king-size bed, and you can try it out in your own home for 100 nights risk-free. What you do is, if you're worried about, well, I don't know if I'm going to like it, just take your old mattress, lean it up against the wall for a couple weeks. Take Casper up on this. If you don't love it, they are going to pick it up and refund you everything. Order your Casper online right now. Get your coziest fall yet lined up. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. I love mine. Big D's got one, too. We love our Caspers. Try it for 100 nights in your own home with free shipping and returns. Go to Casper.com and use code Bubba for $50 towards the purchase of your mattress. Again, that's Casper.com, code Bubba for $50 towards the purchase of your mattress. Casper.com, code Bubba. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.